Red Power Radio. Red Power Radio is broadcast on Podbean.com with the goal of expanding people's knowledge of Indigenous issues across the world stage. Welcome to Red Power Radio. I am your host, Urquhart Beliars. And on today's show, we're going to be speaking with Pamela Palmater, a Mi'kmaq lawyer whose family originates from the Eel River Bar First Nations community in northern New Brunswick. She is currently an associate professor in the Department of Politics and Public Administration at Ryerson University. In addition to her faculty appointment as an associate professor, Dr. Palmater is the chair in Indigenous Governance and the academic director of the newly created Center for Indigenous Governance, housed in the Faculty of Arts. She is also a member of the Yates School of Graduate Studies, affiliated with the Master's Program in Public Policy and Administration. Pam, welcome to the show. And starting off, why don't you tell us why you're running for the AFN leadership?
Well, it's I have to say, people were asking me to consider it some time ago, and I thought, well, you know, maybe sometime in the future. But as, you know, over the last year or two, as the direction of the AFN started to get further and further away from listening to the chiefs and the communities across the country, and especially after the Crown First Nation gathering with their joint action plan, I just felt more and more compelled to stand up, because to me, I actually see a destructive path going forward. It's more one of assimilation and integration as opposed to a recognition of our inherent sovereignty and right to control our own lives.
What is going to be on your platform?
Well, in a few days, hopefully my website will be up, and then everyone can get all the details of the platform and, you know, what I'm thinking about in terms of going forward. But in a nutshell, it's really about asking people to go back to the core issues. So sovereignty, land, and people. And under those kind of three core issues, are housed everything that's important. So under our sovereignty are the treaties. Think only treaty nations can sign treaties with other nations, not citizens of a state, for example. So, our political sovereignty, legal sovereignty, our right to be in control of our own communities, and at the same time, with that right comes the responsibility to take care of our people. Think of all of the children that are in care, the people that are overrepresented in the prison system, the homeless, those living in shelters. We have a responsibility not just to live and act on our sovereignty, but to live up to those responsibilities to care for our people.
Missing and murdered Native women, is that going to be part of your platform as well?
Exactly. So under, the third dimension of people, it's all of those under-highlighted areas like murdered and missing women, all of the children that are in, provincial welfare systems instead of with their families or with their communities, and, all of basically the most vulnerable in our society. Think of our elders who don't have housing. Think of the communities that are in crisis. Those specific communities, there's at least 120 in this country that, don't have running water, don't have sanitation, are in a housing crisis. I mean, we need an emergency action plan to deal with those issues right away.
Taking a look at the makeup of the Assembly of First Nations, there's a lot of male chiefs.
Yeah.
And I feel that women are very much underrepresented in the Assembly of First Nation. How are you going to change that?
Well, I mean, part of it is leading by example. So if there's never been a woman who's been the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, well, it's time to change that statistic. And it's also time to educate the general public, too. Because if you look across at all of the chiefs and band counselors all across the country, we have more women chiefs and band counselors in our communities than Canada does as MPs.
Wow.
So in terms of, really making a shift towards, getting back to our roots and empowering our Indigenous women, we're on our way there. Just because we're on our way there doesn't mean that the AFN is adequately represented, because if you look across at all of the regional chiefs, you don't you see Regional Chief Jody Wilson-Raybould as a really strong First Nation woman leader, but we need to have more of those. And I think starting with the leadership is right where to go. And you have to keep in mind that how did it become that way, right? So if the women were the ones who were putting leaders in and out when they were doing a good job or not doing a good job, and the women were the ones who were tied to the land and had to determine, you know, who could use the land or not, obviously that wasn't in every Indigenous nation, but in some of them, then the best way for the colonizers to access our lands and resources is to displace those women and disempower them, which is exactly what the Indian Act did. Women weren't even allowed to run for chief and council, not to say that the Indian Act governance system is a good system, but under that system that was imposed, women weren't even allowed to run. So you have this, you know, history, this colonial history of excluding Indigenous women. And, you know, the AFN has to lead by example. You have to show that, you know, if we're going to advocate, because the AFN is an advocacy organization, it's not a government, but if we're going to advocate on behalf of Indigenous nations in this country, that includes everybody, the men, the women, the children, you know, those who are in prison, those who are in shelters, everybody. And so their voices have to be properly reflected.
I've spoken to a lot of people on the subjects that you've just mentioned, like women, like children, people in prisons. Yeah. I interviewed last year Howard Safers. He talked about the high rate of Indigenous people within the prison system and how they're relegated to the top tier of prisoners because they're considered automatically violent. What is your plan to tackle that?
Well, we have to bring attention to it. I mean, look at the crisis of our communities, and it very seldom ever gets attention. But look at someone like now-deceased Shannon Kostachin.
Right.
Just the youngest teenage girl was able, in one of the most impoverished communities, Attawapiskat, was able to bring the world's attention to the fact that her community didn't have a school. She's not a politician. She didn't have an entourage. She wasn't funded for that. But she was living up to her responsibilities for her community to stand up. And if a little 13-year-old girl can do that, what's wrong with the rest of us? Howard Safers, who was the Office of the Correctional Investigator, has been saying that the overrepresentation of our people in every level of the criminal justice system is a crisis. It's discrimination, and it's the direct result of federal laws and policies. And he's been crying about this crisis for 15 years. The Supreme Court of Canada, what Canada considers its top court, has said that it's an absolute crisis that of this increasing overrepresentation. It's not even something that's decreasing. It's increasing. Those are the kinds of things that we need to turn our minds back to the people instead of focusing so much on having a pleasant relationship with the federal government. That's important.
We're going to take a short musical break. This is JB and the First Lady. Get ready, get steady, here on Red Power Radio.
Baby daddy warm and hot, so I take it one day at a time. My heart is heavy, so I rock steady to the beat. 1, 2, and 3, you know what I mean. Keeping it clean, investing in a dream. J to the beat, bringing the heat, making them sit on the edge of the seat. Technique so sweet, unique. Make beats until we make magic, till it comes a habit, till you got to have it. Follow me, the white rabbit. I'll take you on a journey. Pack your lunch and hurry. Get ready. It's gonna get heavy. Get ready. Get steady. It's gonna get heavy. Get ready. Get steady. It's gonna what it is, and that's how it is. Some kind of trip, that's why I rap on this kind of tip. I'm honest, I'm conscious. New female hip hop artist. Put me in that category, telling the other hip the story. They've been waiting, so I'm not here. fitting. That's why I know my ladies be relating. So I say, all my relations, all my relations, get big, it's gonna get heavy. Get ready, get steady. It's gonna get heavy. Get ready, get steady. It's gonna get heavy. Get ready, get steady. It's gonna get heavy. Stand on your two feet, look up in the sky, and take it far. Grandmother Moon and Sister Stars will take care of you no matter where you are. Creator is there. Creator is aware, no need to play truth or dare. Unconditional love is what I got. Unconditional love for this thing called hip hop. Connect to your love and your life. Connect to feel what's right inside. Strong mind, strong heart, that's where it starts. You never know what's next. You never know your effects. You never know what's next. You'll never know your effects. Get ready, it's gonna get heavy, get ready, get steady. It's gonna get heavy. Get ready, get steady. It's gonna get heavy. Get ready, get steady. It's gonna get heavy.
Red Power Radio, empowering indigenous people across the planet. Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, we're back. JB, the First Lady, Get Ready, Get Steady, that was just playing right now here on Red Power Radio. And we are here with Pam Palmater talking about her AFN bid to become national chief. And my question is, I spoke with Cindy Blackstock a little while back about the discrimination with First Nations children. How are you going to deal with that?
Well, I think people need to know. We need to start having fact-based discussions, because what you see in the media and what the, you know, when you have a bureaucrat-to-bureaucrat relationship, all you're doing is talking about niceties. Well, let's reconcile. Let's have a good relationship. We need to start educating Canadians about the facts. And I think once we have fact-based discussions, like, hey, Canada, did you know that the chronic underfunding of every social program provided by the federal government to First Nations leads directly to the premature deaths of First Nations in this country by 7 to 30 years? That these are conscious choices that the federal government is making, and there's medical statistics to prove that up. Because that takes you out of the realm of rhetoric and out of the realm of political philosophies about whether we're a capitalist organization or a social, that puts all of that stuff aside and just talks about the facts. The facts are, if First Nations children were not First Nations, they would have a better quality of education. If my grandmother had been my grandfather, I would have been running for chief in my community. I mean, it's as you can clearly point those out. Or the fact that the government of Canada has an extinction date for every First Nation in this country. And you can look it up. All of that information is publicly accessible. But until we start talking about the actual facts and what's on the table and what the implications are, we're going to get stuck at this high-level reconciliation relationship business, which doesn't require any measurable outcomes. In how many years are we going to reduce the education gap? I want to know that. I want to know how many houses we're going to add to communities. Mm-hmm. That's what matters.
It sounds to me like town halls are the thing that's going to be, and social media is going to play a big part in your platform.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because it's about, for me, it's so important to engage the leadership. I mean, obviously, it's only the chiefs that get to vote for the national chief, and to hopefully convince them that refocusing back on the people and our land and our sovereignty so that we can deal with all of these crisis issues is important. But at the same time, we don't have the right to make those decisions without talking to the people, because all of our direction, all of our decision-making power comes from the people. And so they must also be engaged in this election, even though the AFN charter currently prohibits them from voting.
The Indian Act has not been a friend to Native women in Canada at all.
No, and it still isn't. It's still discriminatory. The majority of first and second generation children and grandchildren that don't have their Indian status and cannot be members of their community are overrepresented by the descendants of Indigenous women versus Indigenous men, simply because Canada enacted gender discriminatory legislation, which Canadians believe was amended a long time ago.
The Indian Act, does that need to fall? Does that need to be torn up?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that was kind of the crux of the issue at the Crown First Nation gathering. You had Prime Minister Stephen Harper standing up there saying, don't be under any delusions. We are keeping the Indian Act. We are not going to get rid of the Indian Act. On the other hand, you had National Chief Sean Atleo saying, we need to get rid of the Indian Act. But what Prime Minister Harper said was even worse than that. Not only are we keeping the Indian Act, but we're going to be imposing a whole suite of new legislation on your communities that will further control you in everything from reserve lands, matrimonial property, you know, water, education, you name it, they're going to get their fingers into it and control us even more. So under this government, we've got to do some pushback and say, you know, let's go back to a respectful treaty nation-to-nation relationship instead of this kind of paternalistic control.
What is your next step for the leadership?
Well, I'm kind of entering the race a little late in the game, so I'm doing really big catch-up, talking to lots of people and organizing, and then it's going to be about 6 weeks of traveling and meeting with chiefs, community members, and different Aboriginal organizations to find out, you know, where the biggest concerns are, how to move forward, how to kind of, you know, envision a change, you know, to encourage people and let them know, like, we have the power to change all of this. It's not political naivety to think that we can push back and be successful. Look at the 1969 white paper. If we hadn't all collectively organized and pushed back, we would be in a very different scenario right now. And there's been different periods throughout history where that's happened. So we have the power to do it, but right now, you know, the Conservative government acts in such a bully fashion that people are afraid of losing their funding or afraid of what the ramifications will be. But, you know, I always tell people, there isn't a bully in this world who ever stopped bullying until someone stood up to them.
People
are only going to treat you the way you let them treat you, and it's time that we started demanding respect for our people and start dealing with the crisis.
You were just listening to an interview with Pam Palmater, an AFN National Chief Hopeful, and also a scholar at Ryerson University. She is she is an associate professor at Ryerson in politics and public administration. She is Dr. Palmater is the chair of Indigenous Governance and the academic director of the newly created Center for Indigenous Governance, which is housed in the Faculty of Arts. She is also a member of the Yates School of Graduate Studies, affiliated with the Master's Program in Public Policy and Administration. So that is pretty much it for us. Stay tuned for next week for another great show. Remember that you can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @Mohawk_voice. Stay tuned till next week. And Miigwech, my brothers and sisters, General Generations from A Tribe Called Red is going to take us out.
Archives of Traditional Music Cylinder Project.